Bible says in Proverbs 18:14 that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. How important is the condition of your spirit? Well, it's very important. It can help you as you go through difficulties and troubles in life if you have the right spirit. But it says a wounded spirit, who can bear? No, the spirit of man will sustain. It will carry you through difficult times, or it can be a menace to others around you. Over in Psalm number 78, it talks about the spirit of some of the children of Israel. It says here in verse number 7 that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. And it says, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, what kind of a spirit do you have, so to speak, within you this evening? Do you have that steadfast spirit that no matter what takes place, you're going to do what is right? No matter what difficulties come your way, no matter what somebody does to you, no matter what person fails you, your spirit is steadfast with God. What type of a spirit? Do you have a wounded spirit? The condition of our spirit tonight is very important. I'd like us to go to Psalm 119. And would like us to think about the condition of the spirit behind the psalmist, behind what is written in these verses. In Psalm 119, verse number 33. I'd like to look at five characteristics of a sustaining spirit. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. Psalm 119 and beginning in verse number 33. And as we read these verses, I'd like you to think about the spirit behind the writing of these verses. Verse number 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The first spirit, the characteristic of the spirit here that I see evidenced, is a teachable spirit. It says in verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. He's praying, Lord, give me direction. Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. You know, the way that is involved in the statutes of the Lord is a different way than what would be characterized by the way of the world. Lord, give me that direction. Teach me the way of thy statutes. The word of God, the commandments of God, the principles of God's word will lead us in a particular way. Do we have that teachable spirit that says, Lord, give me that direction? You know, there are many false ways. It's a prayer of, Lord, give me discernment. Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes. There's direction involved here. There is discernment involved here. Weed out the false ways, because there is one way that God wants us to go in. You know, the simple illustration I think that Mark Cahill uses. You know, what's the answer to, you know, how many wrong answers are there to 1 + 1? Well, there's a lot, aren't there? But there's only one right answer, and that's 2. Now, maybe if you're using, you know, fuzzy math, maybe you could come up with some, new methods. But, you know, there's one right answer. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. You know, we are going to be confronted with multiple false ways. We're going to be confronted with multiple religious people that have ways that seem different, but yet sometimes maybe seem appealing to our fleshly nature. But the psalmist is asking the Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. But secondly, tying what I'd like us to see is that not only was there a teachable spirit here, but we find that there was a committed spirit. You know, why did he want God to teach him his way? Because he was committed to the way of God. There was a committed spirit. He was going to obey. He wanted to obey. He wanted to know the way. Why? So he could be in that way. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I what? And I shall keep it unto the end. You know, do you really want to know God's way in your life? Because you want to obey God's way? Or do you simply want to know God's way just in case it lines up with the way that you want to go? Here the psalmist had a committed spirit. He wanted the Lord to teach him the way in which he should go because he was committed to going in that way. You know, I think that some synonyms that would go along with this would be a faithful spirit. Notice it says, I shall keep it unto the what? Unto the end. Do you have that faithful spirit that characterizes your life? I mean, are you one of those people that somebody knows, you know what? They're going to be doing what's right. You know, he wanted to know the way. Why? Because he was going to keep it unto the end. Notice verse number 34, this committed spirit. He says, give me understanding and I shall what? I shall keep thy law. Notice he says, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We find here there is a committed spirit. He was committed to doing the ways of God. He said, I shall keep with my what? With my whole heart. I mean, he was putting himself 100% into what God had for him. He wanted to know God's way. He wanted to understand the pathway that God has so that he could stay on it. There was a faithfulness. There was a loyalty to his spirit. You know, loyalty can be a very good characteristic of our spirit when we are loyal to the right thing. Now, have you ever met somebody that their, you know, team loyalty is to whoever's winning? And, you know, you never know. I mean, well, maybe you do know whoever they're going to be for, because it's whoever's winning at the time. You know, but here's somebody with true loyalty. I will keep it unto the end. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Do you have that same yearning in your spirit? Is there that teachable spirit? Or is there that committed spirit? You know, the opposite of a teachable spirit is, I know it. I know the direction. I know, you know, Lord, you don't, you know, Pastor, you don't need to tell me what I need to do. Or, you know, Mom and Dad, you don't need to tell me what I need to do. I can figure it out for myself. Or is there that teachable spirit? And wanting to know because we want to follow. Is there that commitment? Notice he says in verse number 38, notice his commitment. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is what? Who is devoted to thy fear. Remember, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. Is there that devotion in your life, that commitment? This is the way that I am going to walk in. Thirdly, I'd like to see, though, not only is there a committed spirit, but I see a moldable spirit here. He says, give me, in verse number 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. He realized he needed understanding to really be able to implement God's law in his life. Give me understanding. You know, do you have that desire in your life that you want God to mold and to shape the way that you think so that you can obey Him the way that you should? You know, the problem with much of Christianity today is that people don't think biblically. And because they don't think biblically, they make the wrong decisions in life. They think they're making the right decision, but they're not, because they don't have biblical understanding that guides the decisions that they make. And he says, give me understanding, and I shall what? I shall keep thy law. Do you have that moldable spirit, that spirit that wants your thinking to be molded by God's word? We need a moldable spirit. Our understanding needs to be shaped by God. You know, too often our understanding is shaped by the lies that we are confronted with out in the world. Now look at how many marriages are a mess because people are basing the way they find a life's mate on the world system. Or think of how many families are a mess because they're basing how they run their family on the world system. We need a moldable spirit that is wanting to be molded by God's word. So he says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Then notice the next verse, verse 35. So I see a moldable spirit here. I also see a motivated spirit. He says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You know, maybe if you're a parent here tonight, have you ever had your child say to you, hey, can we go to Culver's tonight? And you say, maybe let me think about it. You know, and 2 minutes later, or 3 minutes later, or whenever it is, can we go to Culver's tonight? Have you decided yet? You know, they're motivated to go. You know, and why do they want you to bring them to Culver's? Because they what? They delight in it. You know, where you delight in going, you want to be directed to go there, don't you? And he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You know, do you have a motivated spirit? Is it motivated by the right delights? You know, what do we delight in? You know, it's easy to get motivated about something that you enjoy. You know, there's a subject in school that you don't enjoy. It's what? It's hard to be motivated, isn't it? But if it's something you enjoy, it's easy. And you know, when the Word of God, when we delight, you know, it says in Psalm number 40 in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy what? Thy law is within my heart. We need a motivated spirit. We need an inward being that delights in God's word. And guess what? We're going to want God to direct us in His way. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. For therein do I delight. You know, young people, maybe college age, maybe you're a little beyond college. You know, what type of person do you want for a life's mate? I mean, that's a pretty serious decision in life, isn't it? Do you want God to direct you in His way? Or do you want to be self-directed? If you want to be directed in God's way, you better have some delight in what God wants. You need to pray and make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. Is that the prayer of your heart tonight? Do you have that motivated spirit? So first of all, we have a teachable spirit, a committed spirit. I shall keep it unto the end, a moldable spirit. Give me understanding, a motivated spirit. Make me to go. Then fifthly, I'd like us to see a humble spirit. It's a spirit that recognizes its own weaknesses. You know, here we have the psalmist saying, I shall what? I shall keep it unto the end. You know, that was the desire of his heart, wasn't it? He was going to be faithful. There was that faithfulness that characterized his spirit. But yet, at the same time, there was a humility that recognized his own weaknesses. Notice what it says in verse 36. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I mean, after reading the first couple of verses, you think, oh, this psalmist, he doesn't have a problem with these things. I mean, he's set. But at the same time, there is a humility that characterizes his spirit as he says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. I mean, he just said, for therein do I delight. But yet at the same time, he's asking God to incline his heart to his testimonies. You know, we need to recognize our own human weakness in that I think all of us would recognize that, you know what, our human flesh can have a hard time really being motivated by the Word of God. And we need God to incline our heart, to point our heart in the direction of His Word. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to what? And not to covetousness. Boy, it's so easy to get motivated by things that we want and forget about the Word of God that should be our greatest want. So he says, incline my heart. Notice the inward here. My inward being. Influence me towards, influence my heart towards your testimonies. But then notice verse 37, he says, notice his humility again. He says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Turn my eyes away from those things that are vain, that are empty, that are worthless. And quicken me, make me alive, bring me to life My Bible says, "For quicken, bring and quicken thou me in thy way." You know, what does the vain things of this world do to us spiritually? It deadens us, doesn't it? But God can do a work in our lives that will make us alive. And that sustaining spirit is one that is humble, that recognizes its own weaknesses and realizes the work that God needs to do in our heart. The work that God needs to do in the gates, in our senses, that influence the direction that our heart goes in. Now I wonder tonight, what type of a spirit do you have? Do you have a sustaining spirit? Is it a spirit that really reflects the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it humble? Do you recognize your own human weakness and how you need God to intervene, to turn your eyes upon that which would count, to set your heart upon His Word? Is it motivated because you're delighting in His Word? Is it moldable? You want your understanding to be shaped? Is it committed? You know, if you haven't dedicated your life to serve God, do you think that you have a committed spirit? You know, tonight, if you're wavering and you haven't really committed your life to serve God, then you don't have a committed spirit. A committed spirit, but then that teachable spirit. That you really want to be directed by God. And the reason you want to be directed by God is because you want to obey God and you realize that without His direction, you're not going to be able to obey Him. And obviously right here in the Word of God, we have that direction. We have the instructions, but yet we need to be taught so that we can go in that way. Do these things characterize your spirit tonight? Or is your spirit wounded? And it's something that is hard for others to bear. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would work in each one of our hearts. Lord, that You would mold our spirits, that You would shape them. Lord, in such a way that we would follow in Your pathway. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, no one looking around, you know, as you think about the message tonight, do you have this sustaining spirit? You know, if you had to rate yourself on a 1 to 10, how teachable is your spirit? Or have you been set on the direction that you're going in? And this is the way I'm going. And maybe you've gotten godly advice in a different direction, but you're set on this way. Well, you know what? You're headed for a what? For a wounded spirit. And you need that teachability, the Lord to give you that direction, to give you that discernment. Maybe it's a committed spirit. You just haven't been really committed to obeying God. Maybe it's another area, but you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight. And I realize there's an area that needs to be corrected in my spirit tonight, and by God's grace and with His help, I want to really cry out, even as the psalmist is here, praying to the Lord to do this working in my life. Is there anyone like that tonight? Lord has worked in your life in a particular way. All right, is there anyone else tonight? God's working in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would mold us, Lord, into vessels that are meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.